All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Once again, my name is Brother Carlos. Want to welcome you guys back here. We're going to go ahead and start off with some hymnal singing. Praise the Lord. So for those of you that are tuning in online, want to thank God. We just ask and pray that you would please search it, maybe on your smartphone, somehow, some way. You can sing along with us. We're going to be in our red hymnal today. The first song, 490. 490 in the red hymn. 490 in the red hymn. Revive us again. Amen. Revive us again. And let's go ahead and sing out together here today. And for those of you who forgot, that's okay. Y'all just follow along the best you can. Amen. All right, here we go, everybody. On the one, revive us again.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Amen. Good singing, church. On the two.
We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of life, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Amen. Good singing, church. On the third.
All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Amen. All right, on the last, number four.
Revive us again.
Fill heart with thy love.
May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Let's go ahead and do number four. We got a little excited, amen. One more time, number four.
Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Well, hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and turn in our red hymnals to page 205. 205. Good singing, church. That's some real good singing. And it is a joy to hear children's voices. It's a little cray-cray, but it's beautiful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord said, don't hinder the children to come unto me. That's what he said. So I definitely don't want to do that. Amen. But we will have order. Praise the Lord, Sunday school teacher. Yeah, we'll lead him out unto the promised land of the Sunday school room. Amen. All right, everybody, page 205. Praise the Lord. If anybody's going through some struggles today, some heartaches, some burdens, this song, amazing. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Amen. All right, on the one, here we go.
If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden. burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely lead you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
Oh, number two.
If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save you, He can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
Amen. On the third.
When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer. He will make a way for you and will lead you safely through. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
Amen. On the last.
When your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on, and your body bends beneath the weight of care, He will never leave you then. He'll go with you to the end. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Good job, Rio. All right, you friends. Were doing so good following the song.
That's really cool. All right. Page 220, our last song today. 220. We'll just do two verses, and then we'll get to some greet and some announcements. So we're going to go ahead and do verses 1, and then we're going to go down all the way to verse number 4. Amen. Here we go. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. On the one, here we go. One, two, ready.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort wrought. Whate'er I do, whate'er I'll be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me.
Amen. He leadeth.
He leadeth me, He leadeth me,
by His own hand He leadeth me.
His faithful follower I will be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
All right, on the last, number 4.
And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, friends, as we get ready for some announcements, let's go ahead and greet one another. Amen. And Jesus and Sister Katie will lead the children to the youth ministry. Sister Katie, amen. Praise the Lord. Exciting.
Alright, as we continue to fellowship, praise God for the fellowship. For y'all who are online joining us, thank y'all for joining us here online. Hopefully you came for the Word of God. I'm hoping and praying, and I'm sure it will be good. Alright, so I'm going to go some quick announcements real quick for the new viewers of our page. And then what we like to do is go from left to right, right across the top of the tabs. Hey, brother. And what we're going to do is just go ahead and get you kind of familiar with our page. So the first tab I'm going to go over is the calendar tab. Calendar tab, just like any other calendar tab, is it shows you our current, future, and past events and how it can differentiate from the regular schedule. All right, so if you would like to continue with us, whether it's joining us physically or virtually, please check out this calendar tab here so you can see what we have going on here at Simple Faith Baptist. About us and our beliefs, we are just fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We believe the Bible inspired and preserved like God said it would be. All right, pretty straightforward. And for the church team tab here, it's just for you to be able to reach us. If you'd like to reach myself, Brother Kwame, or Carlos, you can feel free to contact us via email, or you can contact me. My cell number's on there as well if you need any prayer or there's a need that I can meet. Amen. All right, so for getting connected, this just shows us or shows the online viewers what we have going on here, our different ministries, okay? So Sunday, we have Sunday school at 1 p.m. We go through a 30-minute class. The book we're going through right now is called Fascinating Truths by Brother James Knox. Awesome study. I'm learning a lot in this book, different truths that I didn't know before. So we do that every Sunday at 1 p.m. We do 30 minutes of that, and then we take a 15-minute break. After a 15-minute break, we get into praise and worship, worshiping God in spirit and in truth, and we give a quick announcement on for the new viewers of our webpage, and they want to get straight into the Word of God. Amen. Wednesdays at 7, we have our midweek service. You know, after, you know, you fellowship on Sunday, you know, depending on how much you fellowship throughout the week, it's always good to be able to gather again so we can be here for each other here at Simple Faith Baptist Church. Amen. And so what we do is just go through a nice fellowship and Bible study. But if you look on this calendar tab, as I talked about earlier, every first Wednesday, we're going to have prayer. So it's going to be one Wednesday. That first Wednesday, we're going to have a time of prayer. So if there's something on your heart, something you want to share with us, and you want to pray together, please join us that first Wednesday of the month, okay? And so I'm going to go ahead and go back to that home page for you there. And then for Friday nights, we have our Friday night discipleship class. This class is pretty awesome because the Bible, the Lord commands us in the scriptures to rightly divide the Word of God, right? Study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the Word of God. And so that's why we go through this book here called One Book Rightly Divided, right here by Brother Andrew Ray. And we also are going through a book by Brother James Knox about understanding the Scriptures and rightly dividing the Word of God. And I'll go ahead and show that here so you can see this book as well for the virtual crowd. All right? Awesome study. Awesome study to go through and to learn from, so you can learn how to rightly divide the Word of God, because you can wrongly divide it and it can cause confusion. All right, so please join us for that. That's Fridays at 7. We push it back 30 minutes. Please, if you can join us, please be here so you can learn too. All right, last couple tabs before we get started. It's a live stream tab here. We have a Facebook page, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and we also have podcasts. So many different ways you can see us virtually, so you can learn what we're learning. We can learn together. We would rather have you join us, but if you can't make it, feel free to tune in on that live stream tab. All right. Last two tabs, Bible study. It's a Bible study. It's just basically other brothers who we've like actually met and people who we studied out. We have people who know Bible history here, and I give a shout out to brother brother David Daniels and also Dr. Sam Gipp, a history of the Bible there. One of my favorites here is brother James Knox in Deland, Florida, right here. And all these brothers are solid though, and you can learn a lot. You can add a lot of knowledge to your faith. So please feel free to click that Bible study tab so you can learn. And the last tab here is online giving tab. It's between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you purpose in your heart unto the Lord, we'd like to make it available here if you'd like to give to Simple Faith Baptist. All funds go to, obviously, being able to be here to have this building. But more importantly, the books, the study material, the gospel tracts, the Jesus Saves t-shirts, any way that we can reach and be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the funds go to, all right? So with that being said, I'm going to welcome up Brother Carlos so we can get straight into what we came here for, is the Word of God. Amen.
Amen. Let's go ahead and give the Lord a hand of praise for Brother Quamain. Yeah. Brother Q is getting some more fans. I'm proud of him, man. He's come a long way. Praise the Lord. Well, with that said, first of all, I want to thank God. We got Brother Ron back in the house. We got Brother Joe Tassinari all the way from the Valley back in the house. Brother Angelo coming back here. Brother Felipe, his wonderful wife, Brother Manny. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord together with the saints. For those of you who have seen our extended, amazing chairs that have been somehow, some way modified, we had some amazing little brothers and sisters here, some little children that the Lord said, suffer not the little children to come unto me. So we want to thank God for them coming and making their presence known. Amen. How many of you guys know that children are a blessing? Amen. All right. So with that said, before we get started, praise the Lord, today is our Sunday service, communion service. So be a little bit before we end the sermon today, we're going to make time available. Brother Quamain is going to help us with the elements, and we're going to all participate in the Lord's Supper. And pretty much, if you're a born-again Christian, and you know that for sure, you've been saved, you've been born again, trusting the gospel, you can partake. It's Bible, it is believers for the Lord's Supper there. And we highly encourage you to do that with us. If you're not saved, born again, or you're still not sure, don't be shy to just say, hey, I'm not, I don't really know. We have to always put that out there for those of you who are watching online as well, because we want to be a biblical role model and example. And we will talk about examining our hearts and go through all that later on today. So just know that's where we're headed. And by the way, if it gets a little too warm, too cold, let Brother Kwame know. He'll adjust it, or we can turn it off in a little bit. Amen. So with that said, do me a favor, church. Let's go ahead and open up our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 11. We're going to get right back into our verse-by-verse study through the book of Romans where we left off. And it's a pleasure to see some of the brothers here that we haven't seen in a while. Praise God. We look forward to continuing to grow with each other. For those of you guys who have been with us now, praise the Lord. Slowly but surely, we're getting new faces here, and it is truly a blessing. And today, again, aside from all the cray-cray, it is a wonderful thing to hear little children, and it just brings joy to our hearts, amen, as the children really help remind us not to be so stressed out with life. Everything's just have fun, enjoy it the best you can. And all these kids coming around having a good time. Praise the Lord for that. All right, so Romans chapter 11. We're going to go down here to verse 11. Also want to give a shout-out for those of you who went soul-winning with us yesterday. It was quite amazing and unique. For those of you who know, the world of the unbelieving celebrate this thing called Halloween. Pretty much honor Satan and sacrificial, weird, satanic things going on. Aside from all the trick-or-treats, that's pretty much what it is. They're just everybody being a hypocrite. By the way, hypocrite is just simply an old school word for an actor. That's where the word came from. So everybody's just acting like somebody they're not, and cray-crays and all that. But anyways, it was weird. We saw some pretty unique characters down there yesterday from the movies. But you know what? Praise God. Brother Felipe and his wife for the first time went out there with us. They held a sign and just wanting to let the world know about Jesus slowly but surely. Amen. Praise God for that. The Lord's doing a great work in their heart, and we welcome them into the family here. Amen. And let's just keep them in prayer. But praise God. It is so encouraging to see people just come and do something for the Lord, not knowing much, not knowing what to expect, but just saying, Lord, here I am, send me. And that's what it's all about. People say, what's the will of God for my life? Just do what he said. You only have a little bit of knowledge. Go off that and then see how the Lord will flourish that. And by the way, we did get a new prayer request online here, and it was submitted earlier by somebody by the name of Monique. So keep her in prayer. She says she was lost but now found. God has put on her heart to find a church that is true to his teachings, fighting spiritual warfare, directing people to salvation. I don't know what God wants me to do, but does Steve Stevenson come to mind? I said, no. It's a name that God told me to say. Again, maybe a little spiritual, charismatic there. I don't know. But nevertheless, praise the Lord, she's saved. She's in need of direction and growth. Pray for my family's salvation. That's what we all can do. And seek to do God's work. Amen. So praise the Lord for you, whoever you are, Sister Monique, if you're watching. By the grace of God, we are, as a church, are going to pray with you. I emailed you back. And I don't know who Steve Stevenson is. I mean, there's plenty of human beings on the earth. I know Joshua Stevenson, El Cajon, great pastor there, but I don't know Steve Stevenson. So, just pray about it. I guess pray for that guy. I don't know. Okay. All right, let's keep going back here. Romans chapter 11. Let's go ahead and read through the verses, and then we'll pray, and then we'll go back through it, as you know, just to learn more of God's word, the Bible. Verse number 11. Okay, so who are we talking about here in the chapter? Once again, reminding those of us, if we go back to verse 1, we're talking about the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, defending the Bible teaching or doctrine for the preservation of the people of Israel. Verse 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. So we are learning of the promise that God had made with Israel. We are going to see that it is conditional based off the law once that was dispensed with Moses, that God is going to deal with them accordingly. But although some have been cut off, we're going to learn, that is, they've been straight up killed by God as acts of disobedience, he's always preserved a faithful remnant, a little residue of the whole who did believe in him by faith and did what he told them to do, is obedience to the word of God. So that's a little bit of reminding of what's going on here. So now we're going to continue. Verse number 11, Paul says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now with the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, that's what we're going to focus on. They were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray and ask, God, that even now at this moment you would help remove from our mind any distraction, Lord, of the flesh. And we pray today, Lord, for every single person that is representing themselves, their families today, God, that you would please meet with them here today. Please minister to them the word of God. No matter how people came in through those doors, Lord, I do pray that they would leave that much more different, believing your word, understanding more Bible knowledge so that they can be ready for an answer, adequate to teach their families and others around them. But most of all, Lord, that you would remove me out of your way, and that that your Holy Spirit will do the work he needs to do in our hearts today. And so we look forward to communion as well, Lord. And even now, prepare our hearts to examine ourselves. If there's any sin in our life, if there's anything that we've been doing fallen short of your glory, Lord, would you give us the humility to confess that to you, Lord, and get it right. And we pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name. What do we say, church? Amen. Let's go back up to verse number 11, verse number 11. Quite interesting verses here in God's Word, but sometimes the Lord will put in natural, phenomena to give some spiritual meaning, if you will. We call that a simile, comparing two unlike things, using like as or then. The Lord is going to use the comparison of the root, the branches, that figuratively represent people, Israel and the Gentile. And in this chapter, the Holy Spirit does acknowledge Gentile believers, and he's going to do that for a purpose, and we'll talk about that. We know, and later on in Galatians, we know that in Christ, positionally, before the Father's eyes, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, for we are all one, we're a Christian. But in this particular context, as we deal with prophecy, as we deal with the future of the people of Israel, he is going to address, hey, you Gentiles, don't be high-minded. Don't be acting crazy, thinking, look at us now. Hey, we've been grafted in. The Jews were cut off, and look at us. He's going to remind those Gentile believers to be fearful, be humble. And so we'll get there. So verse 11, quote, Paul the Apostle says, I say then. So here's Paul's rhetorical question regarding Israel as a whole. And the answer, he says, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. God forbid. In other words, may it never be. Was there stumbling of failing to trust God by faith, to trust his words given by the prophets concerning Messiah coming into this world to die for their sins? Was this purposefully done in accord with the will of God? And the answer is no. This rejection came totally of their own will and prerogative, and God, foreknowing, quote, all his works from the beginning of the world, Acts chapter 15, verse 18, they did not seek nor anticipate the outcome of the rejection of his words and promises. And unbeknownst to them, that is to say, without their influence in his plan to work out from their rejection his purposes, we learn that the result of their stumbling was not that they should fall purposefully as consequence, but rather, through their fall, we're going to pay attention to this key word, church, through, keep that in the back of your mind, through their, that's Israel as the whole, their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them, that is, Israel, to jealousy. So again, for those of you who are learning Bible, those of you who are already seasoned, we already understand the physical difference between these two people groups, the Jews are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Gentiles, everybody else. Sons of Adam, doesn't matter. The color, shade of your melanin on your skin color, everybody else, no matter where they were physically born, nationally and ethnically, they are the Gentiles. So what is the purpose? Through their fall, God is going to then work out the salvation to come to the Gentiles. Okay? And that's what we're going to talk about. Rather, through their fall. Not because, but through their fall, Israel as a whole, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for the purpose of provoking them, that is Israel, as a whole, to jealousy. But according to what? According as it is written in God's word. He had already declared the consequence of their rebellion and what he would accomplish through it. What is the purpose of God that he sought to bring through Israel's rebellion, falling from his blessing to bring about salvation unto the Gentile? The second half of that will be God using the Gentile to bring about conviction unto the Jew to provoke them to jealousy. And we'll get to that verse in a little bit. Let's go to verse number 12. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness. So notice how God explains, if the fall of them, talking about Israel, be the riches of the world. Notice the riches of the world. What an awesome statement that is. We have promised riches of salvation, relationship with God, inheritance in Christ extended to the world. And whenever you see that word world, it doesn't just necessarily denote physical, planetary planets out there, When you study your Bible, you're going to see the word world or any word is defined differently in your Bible. That's why you want to define it in context. Like last Friday, we had a great fellowship study. Grace, the grace of giving, the grace of ministry. So here we have the world, Gentile and Jew, the sinners of the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. So that is made up of sinners. And that's the riches of the world, that beautiful relationship that is offered them, etc., etc. And, keep reading, the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles. The word diminishing there just simply means the lessening or the degrading of them. What and how much more their fullness, that is, Israel as a whole. The Holy Spirit is instructing the Christian church with this beautiful hope of doctrine concerning Israel, currently at their state of being spiritually blinded, being pronounced on them since Christ did back in those days in Matthew chapter 23, 38 to 39, and Luke chapter 13, 35. God used their willful rejection of him to bring about the promises of Israel's salvation in Christ unto the Gentile. And if that was the result of the rebellion, the question here, that the rhetorical here, is what would have been the outcome of their submission, their obedience? How much more their fullness? God said that Israel, had they believed and received it, it would have been their fullness. So now the fall of them be the riches of the world, the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles. How much more their fullness if they didn't fall? Verse number 13, let's keep reading. For I speak to you Gentiles. You see, that's what I mentioned earlier, Paul the Apostle. Inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. The word apostle just simply means the sent one, someone that's sent. But we know when you study your Bible later, these are different gifts of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians chapter number 4. And different apostles were given different responsibilities concerning the gospel to who to primarily focus on as an audience. So Paul, when he got saved, his primary audience that Jesus assigned him was the Gentiles. However, Paul still witnessed to the Jews all the time in the book of Acts. And the Lord said, you're going to go before the kings and all that, so on and so forth. Peter, Jesus Christ, primarily assigned him to reach the Jews. But he witnessed to Gentiles all the time. You can go back to Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 9 with Cornelius, the Italian centurion. And so here, that's why I said earlier, notice how he's going to address ethnically the believer for this purpose as it pertains to prophecy. So he's speaking to you Gentiles. He's not talking to the Jews, obviously. He's talking to the Gentile believers in Christ. Inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. And that's what he's addressing, as it pertains not our new identity, but the ethnic difference in God's dealings with Israel and the Gentile for the future work, etc., etc. Verse number 14, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, notice, and might save some of them. The word emulation, or to emulate, is defined in our 1828 Noah Webster's dictionary, is to strive, to equal, or excel in qualities, to imitate with a view to equal or excel, to vie with, to emulate with good and the great, etc., etc. Ambitious, imitated, etc., etc. Rivaling, attempting to equal, imitating, or resembling. Also, later on, in a bad sense, striving to equal or do more than others to obtain carnal favors or honors. To contest, to strive, compete, rivalry, accompanied with a desire of depressing another, emulation, rivaling, etc., etc. So what is Paul's desire for the Jew? He wants to provoke them who are of his flesh. Notice again the ethnic birth that he's addressing, the difference between the Jew and the Gentile, that he might save some of them. So in verse 13, the Gentiles, they're saved. They've already trusted the gospel. But what Paul is reminding the Gentiles is his desire is for the Jew to be saved, and we can see that as early as Romans chapter 10. If you go back with me to the left-hand side of your Bible, for those of you who are physically following along, in verse number 1, look at what the Apostle Paul says. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So notice, he wants the Jews to be saved. And we too, as modern-day believers in the 20th, 21st century nowadays, we want his people to be saved. But how is he going to provoke them unto salvation? The Orthodox, or the whole, sees no need to be born again. Obviously, they don't acknowledge Jesus was Messiah and so on and so forth. So he raises up the Gentile. That's you and I. And primarily the church is made up of Gentiles, although Jews obviously are still a part of the church. And we are going out as missionaries into the world, telling the world the God of Israel came down in a body of flesh, died on the cross according to the scriptures. He was buried and rose again, and he wants all men to be saved. To the Jew first, this was your God. This is what he said he was going to do for you. Oh, you rejected. Okay. Everybody else, this is what God said. They don't want it. And now the hope that God is desiring to accomplish through the church, which is made up predominantly of Gentiles, is to provoke them to jealousy so that they might be saved, considering the joy and salvation that the Gentile has in Christ. Verse number 15, for if the casting away of them, that's Israel as a whole, be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Notice that. The promised hope concerning Israel, God cast them off, pertaining through whom he would reach the world with the gospel of his Son. Remember the Lord said, the kingdom of God is going to be taken from you and giving unto a nation bearing fruits. So he wanted to use them through whom he would reach the world, but they rejected. And so now, with all their physical blessings God promised them, etc., in their law, so easily can they also be received back into a right relationship if they repent of their sin and exercise faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And according to God, he calls this life from the dead. Because currently, as a whole, they're dead. They're not spiritually being used by God in any stretch of the imagination now. But in the future time frame, we're going to see that happen as you read the book of Revelation later on. So according to Romans 11, and also we can read later on in the book of Revelation, chapter number 7 and chapter 14, concerning the remnant of Israel at the close of the Great Tribulation, we are going to see the nation of Israel and one day be born again. We're going to talk about that later on. Maybe next Sunday I'll bring more notes from my Bible school, because I'm literally learning about this right now as it pertains to the prophecy, that there are going to be that remnant, and they're going to represent the whole of Israel at the end, and they're all going to be converted in one day according to Scripture, God calls that the birth of the nation, hence life from the dead, being born again as a whole. So God can easily restore them unto himself in their heart. Holy Spirit here acknowledges life from the dead, because as a whole, Israel as a nation is cut off from God. But in the future affairs, he takes them through the Great Tribulation. He will save the remnant, and as a result, all Israel will be saved according to the promises. According to the promises. And that's what we are talking about right here in regards to that. Let's keep going down to verse number 16. I want to go through these little by little, and then we're going to go back to the main focus later on at verse number 19. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also the holy. What do you have? The fruit of the tree, the cluster, the lump, also holy. If the root be holy, so are the branches. So now he's just going to give us a symbolic, if you will, understanding as it pertains to Israel and their origin, their birth, how God planted them, obviously on the basis of faith, Genesis 15:3 from Abraham, and moving forward, they are a nation of faith, and we're going to see later how he'll deal with them, but this is the concept. We're going to try to get in the back of our minds. I may not do my best to explain it. I wish I had a whiteboard. Some of the brethren do. Maybe we'll order one soon, but just think in the back of your mind, fruit. God says, the first fruit be holy, the lump, the cluster of the fruit holy, the root be holy, so are the branches. Okay, so verse 17. And if some of the branches be broken off, And thou, who is he talking to? Go back earlier, verse number 13. I speak to you, Gentiles. Keep going. If thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them. So now you kind of get the idea there. Okay, I can allude now from other scripture, the other branches in this verse is being referenced to Israel as a whole. So here I am, Gentile. I'm a wild olive tree out there. Some of the branches of the first tree were broken off. And God takes some of me, the wild branch, and grafts me in with them. And with them partakes of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Man, that tree was growing. It was budding. It was being blessed, nurtured of God. That thing was producing. Boast not against the branches. So here we have the Gentile being warned of God not to boast against the branches. But if thou boast, Gentile, remember that, verse 13, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. So don't get high-minded, as we're going to see later on today. Again, this is where all the replacement theology, for those of you guys who don't yet know about church history and church theologies, don't worry, but just know when you start learning more about that, there are people that think that Israel is done, God is not going to use them anymore. There are people that teach the Christians replace the Jews as it pertains to relationship and all that future. We're not going to boast against the Jew. They're spiritually blinded. The majority of them are reprobate. And before they get the remnant gets saved, God is going to judge and kill two-thirds of them. I mean, it's going to be bad for the Jew. But he's going to keep his promise. But we're not going to boast against them because we don't even bear the root. Remember what he just said. We were grafted into this tree. We were not a part of the original tree. Does that make sense? We were another tree. The Bible says we were wild out there, just growing the muck out there, whatever, being nourished by the whatever out there. But this tree, the Lord just said their fatness and all this growth in verse 17, we were taken to be a partaker. So this relationship with God, all the blessings with God and through whom he does it, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we are grafted into that relationship with the God of Israel. So we don't bear this root. The root bears us. Thou wilt say then, so the apostle, talking to the Gentile, making a rhetorical statement, the Gentile says, okay, so Paul, you're saying the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in? Are you telling me that some of those branches of the first tree were cut off so that way we were brought into that tree? Well, that's correct. Correct understanding, correct questioning. And here it is, because of unbelief. That's what we're going to focus on today. They, that is the whole of Israel, who have been cut off by God throughout time. This is what you need to understand, church. This is why we believe the Bible. I understand that there are systems out there that do their best to interpret, but we trust the Word. Paul the Apostle here says, because of unbelief. He didn't say their unbelief and their lack of works. He didn't say their unbelief and lack of circumcision, lack of blood sacrifice, lack of law-keeping, law-abiding. He just said, because of unbelief. Does that make sense? Are you listening so far, church? It's real simple. They were broken off. And thou, the Gentile, standest by faith. Did unbelief mean faith? That's what it says right there. It interprets itself for you. And so, what does he say? Be not high-minded, but fear. So now that we get the fuller picture, we go through all these little verses. Some of it doesn't yet make sense to some of us, and that's okay. We have to study verse by verse, little by little gain. But here's the big picture. The whole, as Israel as a whole, were cut off from God relationally because of their unbelief. They did not have faith in God from their hearts sincerely. They did not trust God. As a matter of fact, the book of Isaiah, and Jesus quotes Isaiah, says, these people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They had a lip show, lip service. We all know that. They were hypocrites. And you know what Jesus said in John 6 to these Jews before him? He says, I know you. You don't have the love of God in you. You don't have the Word of God in you. They were not right with God. And even Christ told them, we can probably go there in a little bit, but They weren't to boast because they were sons of Abraham. And that's that same concept here that we're kind of talking about in principle. So faith, keep that in the back of your mind. Faith, the majority of Israel were cut off because of the lack of faith in God. But the Gentile, they were grafted in because of what? Their faith in God. Real easy. Praise the Lord. So why should we not boast against their unbelief and our simplicity of being grafted in? Because of the grace of God. We're not going to boast against them, man. We are kept by the grace of God. The Bible says in 1 Peter, we are kept by the power of God through faith. Praise the Lord. We're not going to be spiritually boasting and being like, oh, we're superior. Look at us. We're Christians. Faith, faith, faith. They too could have been grafted in. They too were judged by God. And same thing for us Christians. We won't get into it now. We will get into it in Romans 14. We're still going to be judged of God at the judgment seat of Christ. So just know, just because you have this real simple way of knowing God through faith in Christ, you too will be judged by God at the judgment seat of Christ. So don't be high-minded in our theology as it pertains to Israel and its dealings. Now we're going to get into the meat of all this as it pertains to this particular portion of Scripture. Let's go back here to verse number 11. And for those of you who are following along with me, go ahead and turn your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32. So Paul says, as you make your way there, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. And then I said, according to what? According to the word of God. What did verse number 20 just tell you? They were cut off because of unbelief, broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand by faith. And as you make your way to Deuteronomy 32, once again, I'll remind you in Romans chapter 9, again, the same argument here, lack of faith, not having faith. In Romans 9, verse 30, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith. Three times, Christian, you are being told by the Holy Spirit, lack of faith, unbelief, cut off. Nowhere did the Holy Spirit say, lack of faith, lack of works, lack of faith, lack of circumcision, lack of faith, lack of blood offering. Lack of faith. The Gentile? Faith. You stand by faith, you attain to the righteousness of God because of your faith. Deuteronomy 32, let's go there. This is pretty cool. You're going to see this all come to fruition. We're having here the Lord speak, and Moses is going to rehearse the word that God is giving him to the people of Israel. And we're going to start here in verse number 15. This is real good, church, so I hope y'all are ready for this. All right, we all there? If you're there, say palanca. We haven't said that in a long time. I still don't know what that means. Or anybody out there who speaks Espanol, palanca, let me know. I don't know what it means. Okay. Verse number 15. But Jeshurun waxed fat. By the way, Jeshurun is like a poetical name for Israel. It's pretty cool. You say, how do you know that? I read a dictionary. Pretty easy. Nobody? Okay. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Notice, waxed fat. Jeshurun was growing, getting fed well, started off good. Remember that tree we're talking about in Romans 11. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him. Jeshurun, who started you, who planted you, who birthed you, who created you, God. And at that initial relationship status, Israel is growing with God. That fatness as it pertains to their growth. At some point, Israel forsook God that made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Notice, keep reading. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrifice unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up. How about that? After they left Egypt, they're going through the wilderness journey on their way to the promised land. These Gentile nations that are influencing them with all their pagan gods, there's new gods created. And these Jews that forsook him, faith, heart, believed in those false gods, the Lord said, man, you're even giving yourselves over to that God that was just made last week. 2 weeks ago, the latest God. What is the latest show in Hollywood today? That here's the newest act. Everybody wants to be like him. Here's the latest craze that the Gentiles said, hey, Jews, come and worship this God. This God promises sexual desire. This God promises money, whatever the case might be. Verse 17, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock, verse 18, that begat thee, birthed thee. They were birthed by God Almighty Jehovah. Thou art unmindful. They're not even thinking about him anymore. And has forgotten God that formed thee. When the Lord saw it, he abhorred them. Oh, man. He couldn't stand them. But they're the physical offspring of Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, you know, the promise, all that. Yeah, but when he saw what they started to do, after they already had his word and his revelation and his encounter, the Lord said, man, I abhor looking at you. I can't even stand you right now because of what you're doing. Spiritual adultery, worshiping those false gods, and so on and so forth. Because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. That's pretty powerful. For they are a very froward generation. Children, are you ready, church? In whom is no faith. How about that, church? Right there in the law of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 32, God said as he's looking to all these Hebrews that are causing sacrilege and worshiping false gods, when he looked to the end of that, he said, they have no faith in me. They moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. Because who were they doing all those religious observances for? Go back up to verse number 17. They did it unto devils. And by the way, biblically speaking, every religion on this planet, obviously that's not of the God of the Bible, they are doing it unto devils. The people of Thailand, the people of Mexico, the people of the Philippines, the people of Africa, the people of Europe, all them little statues that they worship. We talked about that in our midweek Bible study for those of you who are here. The idols, those are devils. You better stay away from them, boy. Stay away from them. Keep going down. They had no faith, verse 20. They moved God to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. Watch this. And as a result of what they did, I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. Who's that talking about? There you come in, the Gentile. You know, the Lord said we were not a people. Why? Because we weren't of his chosen people, the people of Israel. He did not give us laws. He did not give us his personal appearances and revelations like he did Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and so on and so forth. The Gentiles, all we had was a conscience. With little light, go off that, build your governments, do all your, the good and evil. The Lord's going to judge them based off that until if they had an opportunity to hear about the God of Israel and they responded, they would become what the Bible calls a proselyte. Some Jews who were faithful to God, they were evangelizing, by the way. I don't know if you guys remember that, but you had faithful Jews evangelizing Gentiles, and that's why you had Gentiles in the synagogues. Because they were hearing about the God of Israel. That explains Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. He built a synagogue for the God of Israel. He had all these gods available to him, but one Hebrew who had enough faith in God that he wasn't going to get, you know what I'm saying, killed for telling a Roman, let me tell you why my God is better than your gods. Somehow, some way, that Gentile's heart was moved by faith. So then the Lord says right there in their law, as a result of them provoking him because of their spiritual adultery, their sacrifices, wanting to be like the world, forsaking his word, not even being mindful of them ultimately because they did not have faith in him. You know what the Lord said? He's going to move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. foolish nation. That's Romans 11. That's the quote. Romans 10, that's the quote. He is going to provoke them to jealousy with a foolish nation, with a people that weren't a people. That's where you come in, church. When an Orthodox Jew hears about you, a Gentile, believing in their God, and you may know more Bible than they do, it's like a foolish thing to them. Like, what? I'm from Mexico, and I believe in the God of Israel. There's thousands of miles of differences of culture and religion and belief system. My former people, the Yaqui people, they were worshiping the sun, moon, and stars. Same thing with my mother. We went down to Mexico City. We went to the pyramids. We saw the Aztecs, the little pyramids, and everybody doing these little symbols. And the tour guide was telling us down over there, that's where they would sacrifice folks and take hearts out of people. Foolish! That's who we came from. And all of a sudden, years later, Christians as missionaries are going out into the world, and some people tell people about Jesus. We end up getting saved, and now we want to go all the way back over there. Hopefully, one day we can visit Israel. My mom did. John, they visited Israel. But just to say, hey, old Jews, man, your God is awesome. Let me tell you what he did for me. And they're like, Jesus, Yeshua, oh, no. You know, you can watch those videos on YouTube. It's serious. It's pretty cool when you see those. They interview the Jews over there, and they are like, man, we don't want to have anything to do with Yeshua, Jesus Christ, man. It's so sad. So verse 22, let's keep reading. This is the result of their rebellion against God. A fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn into the lowest hell. By the way, real quick nugget, you ready? There are different compartments in hell. Bible says that hell is in the mid, it's in the center of the earth. It's down there. Lowest hell. What does that mean? There's a higher part of hell, maybe a middle part. That's another story. Let's keep reading. Shall consume the earth with her increase, set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. Who is he talking about? Israel. That's hardcore. I will spend mine arrows upon them. Man, the Lord is going to shoot some arrows at his people. Woo, boy. They shall be burnt with hunger, devoured with burning heat. With bitter destruction, I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them with the poison of serpents of the dust. Boy, are you glad to be a Christian. Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad to be saved. The sword without, terror within, shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs. Children and old folks, God says, I'm going to bring this judgment upon you. Why? Because you were not mindful of me. You forsook me. You didn't believe in me. God said, look at that. I said, I like that. Those are some cool parts in your Bible. I said, I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this. Did you catch that? Here's God giving all these crazy judgments. But you know what the Lord said he's fearful of, by the way? Lest the enemies of the Jews, just the Gentiles around him, begin to be proud and say, man, look at what we did against Israel. Yeah, we took them out. Look at our armies. Lord said, I'm not going to have it because it's not them that's doing it. It's me that's doing it. That's pretty crazy right there. Verse number 28, for they are a nation void of counsel. Neither is there any understanding in them. The oracles were given them. They got the Ten Commandments. God gave it to them. They have the laws. God gave it to them. But the Lord said, they're void of that counsel. They don't have any of that. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. The end of what? Keep reading. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? The only reason Israel is in her condition is because God gave him to that condition. The only reason that they're cut off right now is because God said he's going to cut them off. But their hope is still there and available. Let's keep reading. For their rock is not as our rock. Talking about the rock of the false gods, the rock of the evil devils, as these rebellious Jews were worshiping. Even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine. So again, real quick, side nugget, for those of you who want to talk about alcohol and all that, here's the word, wine, King James Bible, And it's associated here in verse number 32 with the grapes of gall, the clusters. So the word wine is just the King James Bible word for the description of the juice that comes out of the grapes and the grapes of gall. But here it's a negative thing. It's a judgment concerning these Jews and what they were doing. And he's talking about the vine of Sodom. For those of you who know Sodom, bad. So what are they doing? Man, their grapes are of Sodom. You know, he's giving them a bad judgment. Their wine is the poison of dragons. Don't drink alcohol, point blank. Just don't do it. The cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed upon my treasures? All these judgments. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants. Whoa! Anybody here? He is going to bring them through all those judgments. But when it's completely satisfied, he's going to change his mind. That's what we're talking about in Romans 11. God is going to judge the Jews. He's going to bring them through great tribulation. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all those Old Testament prophets, when you study, we're going to study them next week, Lord willing. Two-thirds are going to die in Jerusalem. One-third is going to escape. We're going to talk about that. And that third, that remnant of the Jews, are going to flee into the wilderness. And they're going to be nourished of God. They're going to be watered. They're going to be fed. Because this is what he's going to do. He's going to change his mind. Because that little last remnant, as they flee to the mountains, Christ said, when they see that abomination of desolation in the temple, man, they're going to run. They are going to book it. We are out of here. There's that, you know, God told us in the Old Testament, here we go. Oh, we're out of here. The Lord is going to bless them because they're going to have faith in him. That's the point. When you see it, that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left, and he shall say, where are their gods? The rock in whom they trusted, which did eat of the fat of their sacrifices and drink the wine of their drink offerings. Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. That's pretty hardcore. This is some hardcore judgment God has given to Israel. Hey, Israel, you forsook me. You forsook my word, my law. Why don't you trust in your gods then? Go ahead. Trust in the gods of Hollywood. Trust in the gods of the elites, the Illuminati. I'm just putting that out there. I'm just messing with y'all. All right, verse 39. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. That's pretty cool. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I wet my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and reward them that hate me. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood. My sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. So far, still bad, still hardcore. Don't give up. Keep reading. Verse 43. Rejoice, O ye nations. Oh, wait a second. I got my sword ready with blood. I'm going to take some fools out. I'm going to be judging people for their rebellion and their disobedience. But rejoice, O ye nations, plural. Not the Jews right now. Everybody. With his people, Israel, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. Hath God cast away his people whom he foreknew? God forbid. The Lord God, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, abounding in mercy, he's not going to withhold his anger forever. He will not chide, Psalm 103 said, with us forever. He's going to discipline them, though. He's going to judge them. You say, Brother Carlos, why is he going to deal with the Jews so harshly? Like, we as Christians, we're not having to worry about God taking us out right now because of every time we sin in our heart. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Because remember, this is the law. God gave the law to the Jews. And this is now the conditional qualifier. That means when they respond to that law in faith and obedience, God will bless them. But if they reject and are disobedient to that law, God is going to judge them according physically to those things. They are under these conditional blessings from God. And that's those hardcore judgments. So now take into consideration, because of all that they did. He will be merciful unto the land. He will be merciful to his people. But until that mercy is full come, go back to verse number 20. Where are we at here? Go back to verse number 21. I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Romans 11. Romans chapter 11. And let's go down here to verse number 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy, God fulfilled his word. It's exactly what he said he was going to do thousands of years ago. That's exactly what he has done. And all those judgment that we read about, it's still going to happen. So what do we need to do? We need to pray for Israel. We need to pray for their salvation. We're praying, oh, Lord, please raise up missionaries to tell them Jews about you, Lord, so as many Jews can be saved right now at this time of the church age. So verse number 20, before we close, we understand now the rhetorical. Paul says, so you're going to say then, I was a wild branch. Remember that. Go back to the branch in your mind. I was a wild olive tree. I was just out there, the Gentile. God gave me a conscience, Romans 2. But here we had the nation of Israel. God planted them. God formed them. He grew this tree. He gave it his love, his light, his people. But them branches, boy, were cut off. Why? Because of unbelief. They did not have faith in him. And as soon as they took their heart off God, they started to put their eyes on the world, false gods, false religion, sinning here, drinking alcohol there, doing all these wicked and reprobate, wretched things. Cut off. Some branches were still there, though. The remnant. So you, the Gentile, the wild branch, you out there? All right. You're going to believe by faith. You're going to be easier to just trust me than the Jew is. All right, I believe the gospel. I believe in Jesus. You're telling me that these gods are not going to help me change my life? Okay, you're telling me Jesus, he's alive? Okay, I'll trust him. You're telling me I can't pay my way to heaven? I can't earn it with all these things we as Gentiles used to do? You're telling me that he can do everything for me? Okay, I trust him. So by faith, I believe in their God. God takes me, connects me to the root, because we stand by faith. And in verse number 20, we are being warned, don't be high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. You say, whoa, are you telling me that I have to worry about my salvation? No, you don't. He's not talking about your salvation. But he won't spare his judgment from coming to you just because you're saved by faith. That's why we are telling you today, if you're a Christian, you best stick out and get in this word of God. You keep doing your best to fight against that old flesh man that we all have, that flesh woman we all have. And as we get ready for the communion, great way to segue, Brother Kwame can start prepping the elements there. I don't know where my wife put the stuff. Maybe you can quickly ask her where all the things are, maybe back there. I'm not sure where she put them. We are telling you, Christian, to continue to walk by faith this relationship with God. Because the Lord is going to judge you as a Christian one day at the judgment seat of Christ. And though you may not immediately receive and feel any consequence for your sin right now, even though because you slip up one time, two times, three times right now, you may not feel a lightning rod come from God, as they say, he is going to judge you one day at the judgment seat of Christ. And as we get ready, we talk about the understanding of communion. And we want to thank those of you who are tuning in online for joining us. We hope this message was a blessing to you. We're going to close now so we can have communion with our church. We hope and pray that you can join us one day. The Lord bless you. All right, church. Praise the Lord. Brother Kwame and his lovely wife there are going to